The gurus of How To are here right now, also known as Accurate Building Inspectors of Brooklyn, New York. They visit us regularly to help us get through the tough times.
Yeah, like How To or Why To or,
or Y2K or
Alvin and Larry Ubell. And when they come here, we take your calls at we have a different number today, but just for today, we're taking your calls at 646-616-7456. You can also write us on our show page at WNYC.org, and you can write us on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. So I've taken care of business. Mm-hmm. Now I throw the mics to you.
You're doing a good job. Yeah.
Well,
yes, I think so.
Yes,
yeah,
always.
Well, thank you so much. I was worried.
And he's counting on us for the reviews.
All right, very good.
But like we were talking about earlier about how, you know, we are getting on heating season. It seems to be turning, like, within the last couple of days. We've already dropped close to 20 degrees, 25 degrees of temperature, and it's nighttime starting to get cold, and people are going to start turning their heating equipment on.
But it's interesting that the predictions are there'll be some warm days coming up. This is a weird kind of transitional period, isn't it?
Yeah, it's always
Indian,
like,
summer comes along.
It's really difficult to predict what's going on because you have to be what is known as an aerographer or
an aerographer.
Yeah, that's used to be the original name for the weatherman.
Ah,
yes.
Now they're all meteorologists.
That's right, and they don't deal.
I was wondering where the meteors are coming from.
I thought the same way. Says, where are they? They never announced one meteor coming close to the Earth. It's always some scientist that talks about that.
Well, they're more media, M-E-D-I-A, than they are M-E-T-E-O-R.
That is for
sure. Wow, that's good.
That's for sure. But the thing is now with the weather changing back and forth, you are going to start using your heating. And the most important thing is to keep the heating, A, working, but B, being efficient. And the best way to keep it efficient is keep it clean. So if you have a forced air system, change the filter, especially if you haven't changed it since last year. If you've been using it also
20 years.
Well, that too. And if you've been using it for air conditioning also, some systems have dual function, you want to check that filter also for that. But also, people also have a problem with radiators. They don't keep their radiators clean, especially the baseboard with the fins. You got to suck out the cat and dog hair out of it so they work better and get the furniture away from it.
A lot of people who have central air don't even know where those filters are.
Well, that's a difficult thing. Sometimes it depends upon how the system was built in the first place. The filters could really be in the ceiling. They could be in the basement. They could be in the wall. They could be in some closet even. There could be. You have to know your own house on how it functions. The weird thing about it is you buy a car, they give you a manual that is 150, 200 pages long. It probably costs more than the car to make that manual. But when they buy a house for hundreds of thousands of dollars and even millions of dollars, you get nothing.
Actually, you get a pat on the back, a handshake, and lots of luck. And
now, of course, this is also a time that people are going to take their air conditioners out, or they are going to leave them in and hope that they don't bleed too much cold air.
Right.
What do you recommend?
I recommend taking them out for two reasons. One, the windows do not – well, now air conditioners are – when you buy a window unit, they now supply those strips of foam to stick in between the upper and lower sash. And if you want to leave it in place, you can. But the air conditioner itself is a major heat loss because it's really not designed to have a substantial heat loss resistance. So therefore, you really should remove it. But a lot of problems, especially in New York apartments, where are you going to put the thing? And you have all your shoes at the bottom of the closet. Why are you going to put this air conditioner there? And so that's a problem. Some buildings are nice and they store them for you in the basement, but not most. I wanted to go back
to
that.
It's also the Schlepp factor.
The Schlepp factor too, you know, and they're not light. And, you know, especially if you don't have that much upper body strength.
Why did they have to be so heavy?
It's the compressor.
It's a metal. They're making them lighter. The casings are starting to be made out of vinyl or plastic in such a way, which is actually in some instances better than the metal, because the metal is a conductor of energy, heat energy, and the plastic is a bit of insulation value, so you won't get as much condensation, and there are, and also it's easier to clean with the plastic because the corners are not right angled. They are usually rounded off in order to accommodate the molds that make the plastic covers.
I just want to go back to one thing about people not knowing where their filters are. The best way to find out where your filter is next time your system is serviced, ask the guy. He'll tell you where the filter is. I am a big advocate of having the filter installed in the air return grill. That way it's in the livable space. It's easy to access. So you don't have to go through your basement to get to it, so, or in your ceiling. So if you have that option to have it changed, have it changed.
That's right.
My guests are the gurus of how-to, Alvin and Larry Ubell. And we are taking your calls, although all of our lines are filled. So if you call right now, you're going to get a busy signal. But keep trying. Our number is 646-616-7456, not the usual number. For today only, a special deal, 646-616-7456. And this is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Before we get to the calls, we should do
give
the quiz. Famous quiz.
That bimonthly word.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who's going to read this one?
I haven't read in a while. Name the manufacturing process of crisscross grooving in the surface of metal knobs to aid in gripping, turning, and winding.
That just to give an idea what that is. If everybody has a wristwatch.
Not everyone does. I don't have one.
A lot of people have a wristwatch. Let's say a preponderance of people have a wristwatch. And the little knob.
It's a generational thing, Alvin.
Yes.
I have one.
And the little knob that you turn, that wind it up or turn to change the time on it, that has this device.
This thing.
Embedded.
Okay.
And we're not the same generation?
If you are having a problem getting through, and it's likely that you are, you can leave a comment on our show page instead of calling us on the phone. Unfortunately, for the quiz, you're going to have to give us a call. Mm-hmm. Again, the number is 646-616-7456. So should we take a call?
Yes.
Let's go with it.
Okay. Our first caller is Stephanie from Hastings-on-Hudson. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Very nice town.
Thank you.
What's up?
Okay. I keep my air conditioners in all year long, and I've noticed a crack on the top of the plastic outside, the part that stays outside.
Mm-hmm.
Could that cause a fire or anything?
No.
No, but
to reinforce the plastic, what you might want to do is get some epoxy glue or epoxy putty and put it along the crack and then over the crack to give it something to make it, you know, smooth it off. You could put some duct tape or some Gorilla tape over it so it conforms to the shape and gives the epoxy a little bit of thickness.
Okay. And my other question is, who checks the water heater or the boiler? Who do you call? A plumber?
Plumber primarily. Your local utility may have a list of people that they have, but a licensed plumber is the people who check. Why, what's wrong with the water heater?
No, I've read twice this year that you're supposed to have it inspected as you get ready for the winter, but nobody says who to call.
Well, not really inspected, basically tuned up, you know, checked out and that sort of thing. It's, you know, most people think of inspections as a municipal process. What you're talking about is just to make sure that it's operating properly, and that would be a plumber.
Yeah, but if you have a water heater, if you want to save energy, you should really flush it out at this time of the year. You have to open up the valve on the bottom, put a bucket on there, and fill the water up, the bucket up to the brim. But turn that valve open full so it flushes out the schmutz that's in the bottom.
But I also want to tell people, if they do that, be really, really careful, because the water coming out of there is really hot, and you should be wearing gloves when you do it.
Now, water heaters are a lot better these days than they were in the past.
Yes.
Especially the pilot lights are more sophisticated than they used to be. You don't have to go under them with a match.
Well, actually now to make them safer, you now have basically a not sealed combustion chamber, but you can't get to the combustion chamber. You have to actually take the whole unit apart to get in there. And now they all have igniters like we have on our barbecues. So it makes it a lot safer.
Stephanie, thank you so much for your call. Richard from Jackson Heights, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
My question is about a hot water circulator pump in our building. Mm-hmm. Now, here's what happens. If we have some plumbing work done, they shut down the entire main line into the building. So when eventually they finish the work and they turn it back on, the part, like, say, my bathroom, it works just fine. The hot water comes immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But in the kitchen, sometimes it takes as much as 2 or 3 weeks before. And the other thing is now it hasn't come back in over 3 months. So and we just replaced the circulator pump, and it's pretty much doing the same thing. It's working fine in part of my apartment. Doesn't work at all in the other part.
And have you contacted the super about this dilemma?
Yes, I have.
And what does he say?
He's a super. He's not particular. He's not a real plumber.
Well, okay. Let me just tell you, the super is not a plumber, but he is a manager of the building systems. And if he doesn't really know what's going on with the building systems, he's a terrible super. And so, as far as what's going on there, then he needs to actually contact the plumber and get the plumber in there and figure out how come. Now, are you being serious that you don't get hot water there for a week?
Well, no. What I mean is,
how many minutes
to work normally? Like, eventually, if I let it run for 3, 4, 5 minutes,
then it comes up.
Then the hot water comes up. Yes.
So every time you start up the hot water, it takes 3, 4, 5 minutes to get the hot water.
That's not uncommon, is it?
Well, in a tall building, it is.
In a tall building, it is because what happens is they may have changed the upfeed line or made a detour where the circulating section doesn't pass through the kitchen line.
So anyway, what's happening here is that there's that particular sink, for some reason, that feed is being isolated from the hot water recirculating loop. So that's something for a plumber to look at. You actually should talk to your other neighbors, or your neighbors rather, in the same line and see if they have the same problem with their kitchen also. And then that will actually start the investigation and where the problem really is starting from.
Yeah, I have talked to people, and it seems to be unique to my apartment.
Then something is going on there, that you have a cross connection between the hot and cold water or something like that, but you definitely need to involve the super, the manager, and whoever their plumber is.
Okay. It doesn't make sense to you that it was working up fine until we shut down the water, and then when we shut it back on.
They might have shut off a valve and did not reopen it, so that's probably the problem. But you definitely need to talk to your management company.
We have some listeners who have been writing in. David on Twitter asks, what do you think about geothermal heating and air conditioning?
Fantastic. I mean, if you have the space and you have the room and you have the money, it's fantastic. I did an inspection of a townhouse in Manhattan where they actually had a well pump go down into the substrata, and they used that water to warm and cool the air conditioning coils. Very expensive system, but it worked great, and they didn't have to have any compressors on the outside of their building, so there was no noise on the outside. So it was great.
We're going to take a little break and come back with more calls and attempts to answer the quiz, which is, name the manufacturing process of crisscross grooving in the surface of metal knobs to aid in gripping, turning, and winding. And our number today only, 646-616-7456. Be back with the Gurus of How To, Alvin and Lawrence Ubell, right after this. Have you ever wondered what your waiter thinks of you? Well, next Tuesday at 7 at the Green Space, we'll talk to a wide variety of waiters, including a father-son team from Restaurant Daniel, who'll give us the inside scoop on dining do's and don'ts and how to get treated like a regular even if you're not. We'll even show you how to uncork a bottle with a crumbly cork and debone a fish like a pro. Buy your tickets now to that event or the entire Low Pit and Locavore series by going to wnyc.org/thegreenspace. I'll be there, and I hope you can join us. Last year, they all sold out. You got to get in touch with us now. This is WNYC, wnyc.org. Find us on Facebook and Twitter, where our handle is @LeonardLopate.
Fix it. How you
We are back with the Gurus of How To, Al and Larry Ubell, and we're taking your calls today at 646-616-7456. There's a long question here. I don't know if we can take care of it fairly quickly. But
shorten it up.
Regina, well, I'm going to read the whole thing. Regina in Centerport writes, my husband is looking at commercial buildings to expand his nano brewery, and we found one that was totally cleaned out, no tiles on the floors in the offices or bathrooms, and no molding on the walls, etc. Everything has been spray-painted white, so it looks nice and clean, but they spray-painted even the venting that has flakes of old paint and probably has been scraped. The roof has obviously been leaking, and there's a number of PVC pipes that seem to lead from the roof to the driveway outside. We're suspecting that there might have been water damage and maybe a mold problem. Is there any way to verify that?
Yes, have it inspected.
But specifics is one of the things that you want to do is you want to have a mold air sample done. And when they do that, they take a air sample from inside the space and they take a sample outdoor, because the outdoor background sample is very critical to know the differential of mold and what different molds there are. The other thing is about the roof. You want to, if there are any materials there to test with a moisture meter, you want to do that too. Also, if you're really interested, wait for it to rain and then go take a look at that the next day of the space and see if you see any puddles. And you look around, you inspect. And these are the things that you could do that an inspector would normally do, but these are the preliminary things you can do to tell what's going on in the space. As far as the flaking around the vents and stuff, that should all be removed, because eventually all that flaking is going to get airborne and you're going to start breathing it in. And some of the underlayers of paint could actually have lead content, so that's also an environmental issue, especially if you're brewing you're brewing beer in there. I mean, it's bad enough
you want it to be clean.
Yeah, it's bad enough that we put our scotch in leaded crystal and poison ourselves, but you don't want to start doing that at the manufacturing level.
Yeah, as far as painting the ductwork, sometimes the ducts are made out of galvanized iron, steel, and paint doesn't stick to galvanic surfaces.
Now, we have a caller who thinks he knows the answer to the quiz. You want to give it out one more time, Al?
Yes, I will. Name the manufacturing process of crisscrossing grooving in the surface of metal knobs to aid in gripping, turning, and winding.
And Stephen from Manhattan, what do you think it is?
Hey, remembering my days in machine shop as a high school student too many years ago, is it knurling?
Well, that took a long time.
Maybe the question was too easy.
Yeah, maybe it was.
No, it was not. I don't know if anyone other than someone with a background in machine shopping would know that. Do you think? K-N-U-R-L-I-N-G.
Right.
Correct? Right.
Correct.
That's right. And what you will receive for that, if you give your name and your address to the producer, you will get a copy of Save Energy, Save Money by Alvin Ubell and George Merlis.
So, Stephen, I'm going to put you on hold, and they'll take care of you, okay?
Thank you. You guys are the best.
And congratulations.
Good luck.
Okay, let's go now to Mike from Sayville. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hi there.
How's it in Sayville? Good?
Oh, Sayville's wonderful. The gateway to Fire Island.
Okay. What's up?
Okay, I've got a force-hot air unit, and I want to make a comment. If anyone's got the in-the-house filters,
yeah,
they get the good ones. They'll get the blue ones. And they tell you to change it once a month. That's if you have one cat. The more cats you have...
That's really funny. But it is true.
Cats like me, it'll clog up quick.
I know, that is true. I have to tell you that it's interesting, because in my upper level I have two bedrooms, and each room has its own return air. One is my daughter's room, and she hasn't lived at home for 9 years. The other one is my room. Her room is pristine clean. Never have to change it because no one lives in there. My room, completely dirty. All the air, all the skin, all the cat hair, everything's in there. It's disgusting.
Right.
So, yes, changing the filters. And the thing is, if you neglect changing the filters, two things are going to happen. In the case of air conditioning, your coils will freeze up. In the case of heating, your exchange will overwork and overheat. And third, it'll make your air handler or fan work harder than it needs to, and you burn your fan out. So it really is important to change those filters.
Okay. Thank you.
That's only the beginning. I'm not even done yet. Didn't start yet.
You're not done yet? I thought you were.
That was just a comment.
Then what's the question?
We only have so much time, Mike.
I'm expanding from 2 to 3 inches on the pipe coming out of the forced hot air in the basement.
Yeah.
They tell me to come out of the house, and should there be a trap before it goes up to the roof?
Which is this?
This is a pipe?
Yeah, the pipe, the PVC pipe coming out of the furnace, going out of the house.
Oh, you mean, okay, you have a high-performance heating system with the PVC pipe coming out of it. I'm going to give you the simple answer. Go to the manufacturer. That is their expertise. And the interesting thing about
it varies with each one.
Each unit is different. You have to go to the manufacturer. Manufacturer specifications need to be adhered to. It's mandatory, not only for safety, but it's also part of the code. All manufacturer specifications become part of the code when the equipment is installed in the building.
Mike, thank you so much for your call. Reggie, hi, you're on the air.
Mm-hmm. Hey, how's it going? I have this weird thing that happens in my basement. I have a bathroom down there we don't use much, mm-hmm. and when I go down there and I turn the water on in the sink, I get a distinct smell of gas.
Of course you do, because you don't use it. And the traps are empty, and the toilet empties out, and if the toilet level drops below the point where it returns back up into the toilet where the flushing goes, if there's a little air gap there, sewer smell comes out of your sewage. You got to use your bathroom more than once every 3 months.
Unfortunately, I have not.
If you don't use a basement that is really not used, you really should fill the traps up with oil of some type.
No, don't do that, because then someone will run and you can put oil in the system. What you really should do is either cap it if you're not using it, remove it, or go down once a month and flush the toilet and run the sink.
That's the best way.
Yeah.
It's kind of like charging up the battery or something.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your call, Reggie. And we have been getting a lot of people writing in. Lisa asks on our show page, we recently had new windows installed in our apartment, but kept our window AC units with accordion sides. What would you recommend to prevent drafts that might come through the ACs?
Through the AC itself, that should be happening.
Or is she saying through the accordion sides?
Or through the accordion. But either way, as far as it coming through the AC unit, there's a dial says fresh air, no fresh air, and that closes a damper that's on the inside of the air conditioning system. If it's on the outside where the accordion is deteriorated and has punctures on it, you may have to get a little piece of vinyl, cut it to the right size, and then put a little bit of acrylic cork all the way around and press it into place, and it'll fix it.
Or also you can buy some very inexpensive rigid board insulation, which is kind of made by U.S. Gypsum and some other companies, and it's very cheap, and you buy it and you cut it to face and also cork it in place. And the other thing, for the interior, if it's leaking through the itself, you can actually create some kind of air conditioner cozy, basically out of cloth, and attach it, you know, something that has thickness to it, like sweatshirt material or something like that, and you're creating a small insulator for the air conditioner, and you fit it around. You can fit it around with a bungee cord or some kind of other elastic thing to keep it in place.
That will work.
I know.
Okay, let's take a call. Nick. Hi, Nick. You're on the air.
Hi, Nick.
Nick from New Jersey.
Hi, Nick.
Hi, how are you? I live in a private house in about half hour from Manhattan, so it's semi-urban, semi-suburban.
Mm-hmm.
What's the most effective way to get rid of mice that are in the house? I've tried glue traps, and they just eat the food and run off the glue trap.
Well, really? You got really tough mice there in Jersey, because I had a couple
maybe
of mice.
They're just really small and their feet aren't sinking into the glue or something. I don't know.
Well, do you buy the really high-performance glue traps, like the ones for rats?
I buy them from Home Depot, which are like $2-3 per trap.
At 99 cents.
But hold on. Do you buy the bigger ones or the smaller ones?
I buy the bigger ones. The ones that are about, 8 to 10 inches long.
Here's the trick. Maybe, Here's the trick. I tried something. Have you put some peanut butter in the middle of it?
I have. I've tried peanut butter and chocolate, and sometimes the peanut butter hasn't gone missing, but if I've put a piece of a cracker or something.
No, put peanut butter in it and spread it in, and then they have to really work at it, and then they get stuck.
Okay. And you're suggesting that he used the larger ones?
Yeah, the larger ones, because they have to go further into it. The other thing is, I've tried using those ultrasonic things. I plug those in around the basement, and that also made them go away. And the third thing is, because I just enjoy it, I put the little snap traps around, because that's always fun also.
Well,
those are the traditional mouse traps?
Right, exactly.
Okay. Now, the problem with the glue traps is that they get caught in there, and then they start squealing, and then you have to deal with that.
Yeah, but the bottom line is that they have an attractant into that building, and they have to get rid of the attractant. The attractant could be some sort of food. It could be the warmth. It could be a lot of things. And the idea is to analyze what are they being attracted to inside your building, and that's what you have to eliminate first.
I know. For me, it was actually they were eating my grass seed.
The idea is get rid of the grass seed.
Why? I did.
All right.
I planted it.
Avi from Riverside asked, we did a gut renovation of a two-family home in Riverdale, and we replaced the furnace with a heat pump system, which works great in the summer, but when the temperature drops below 35 degrees, its ability to keep us warm falls off dramatically.
Yeah, that is a problem with heat pump. What they might have to do is they might have to go geothermal and bury the coils, because the problem is that once the temperature outside drops below 40, 45 degrees, even in the 30s, it's difficult for the compressor to exchange that cold air into other cold air. And so that is an issue. I have to say that there's a company called Denkins that makes a heat pump system that they claim, and my HVAC contractor that I know also verifies that it will work to 0 degrees, outside ambient temperature to 0 degrees. So maybe you have to get a different heat pump. Now, I'm pretty sure on that system that they actually have auxiliary electric resistance heating, when the heat pump doesn't work. Unfortunately, when that happens, then your electric meter really starts spinning.
Yes, the electric goes way up, but they should have that side of resistance heaters in every heat pump system if you wanted to heat your house up, especially in this part of the country.
Right. Heat pumps don't really work that well. They were really designed for the lower half of the country, from the Carolinas down.
Pete from Wilton, hi, you're on the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hi. I have a 2,600-square-foot house in Connecticut, and I got about 5 or 6 different estimates for the installation of central air a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they varied pretty significantly in the what they thought was the tonnage capacity that I would need, from 2.5 tons up to 6 tons. And I know I don't want more than I need, because of the air, it'll cycle on and off, and then we'll get rid of the humidity. Mm-hmm. Is there any way to figure out?
Well, I need to ask a couple questions before you just go dive in. The first question I have is, how many floors is it?
It's 2 floors.
Are you going to do 2 zones?
Yeah, I am.
You are. And is the square footage equally divided between the upper floor and the lower floor?
No, it's about maybe 1,600 down and 1,000 up.
1,000 up. So I'm probably figuring that, the number of about 3 tons per floor would probably be about right. The upper, they should be about the same, because there's more heat stacking up on the upper floor and more heat loading up there. So the three tons will be necessary up there and downstairs. Because I have to tell you, I have my house. I have a really small house. It's only about 1,800 square feet. And I have 1.5 tons for downstairs, and I have 2 tons for upstairs.
Yeah, but most, but the fact is that most of the air conditioning companies like Carrier and General Electric and everything else, they have on their line on site that where you can punch up all the parameters of your house, how much insulation you have, what's the exposure, how many windows you have, what type of windows you have, whether they're single glaze, double glaze, triple glaze, whatever you have there, you have to put all this information in, and their computer will calculate approximate size.
But he's saying he's getting conflicting
amounts. Well, what Alvin's saying is that he should go to the website and go to their heat gain calculator or their air conditioning calculator, and that will give you a pretty good estimate of what ballpark you're in. And so, therefore, he can actually go to speaking to these people with knowledge.
Yeah, but there's one other thing. It is better that the air conditioner be undersized than oversized, because undersized, you'll be able to dehumidify the space, which you will feel cooler at a higher temperature. So that's a better way of air conditioning, because it is not good to chill the moisture that is in the atmosphere.
But I have to say that I'm going with the 6 tons altogether. It sounds about right.
Now, we have very little time left, but maybe we can quickly address this issue about somebody who has a brownstone building with wide board floors that are separating now. What can he do to fill up the gaps?
Well, what you can do, it depends upon the filling up of the gaps, but you can, from the lumber yard, you can get what is known as lengthy wedges. There are pieces of wood, and I don't know what kind of wood you have on the floor, if it's oak or say pine or whatever, but you can put these long wedges in, you put a little glue on them, and you tap them down, and then shave them off smoothly, and voila, those gaps disappear.
The Gurus of How To will be back with us on December 11th. Meanwhile, you can write to Larry at...
Either at larry@ubell.com or larryubell@gmail.com, or you can tweet me at larryubell at tweeting.
And thank you both so much for being on our show again.
And where we will go again and show all of America how to go forth and fix, save energy, money, and
do it safely.
On tomorrow's show, in light of all the pressures of modern parenting, we'll look into whether it's possible to be an ethical parent and what kids learn by watching us navigate the world. And you can weigh in with your thoughts right now on our show page. And then New Yorker writer James B. Stewart talks about the significance of the collapse of the major law firm Dewey & LaBeouf in 2012. And Kevin Barry talks about his latest collection of stories called Dark Lies the Island. The Leonard Lopez Show is produced by Blake Neshek, Julia Corcoran, Jessica Miller, and Fanny Cohen. Melissa Egan is the executive producer. Victoria Washington was at the audio controls. And we had help today from Ankita Sood and contributing producer Fran Jacobs. I'm Leonard Lopez, your host. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.